more about you. Jenny?
Thank you very much. Now, this is intriguing. Investor Warren Buffett's financial wizardry is a mix of shrewd analysis and steely self-control, which keeps his instincts in check when others may be losing their heads. Now, Buffett digs deep for rational behaviour and uses self-correction to inform his decisions.
Yeah, but why is he a fatso then?
Well, I'm getting to that in just a moment. According to a biography of Buffett, and he's not a fatso, he applies a similar rationale to moderating his weight, John. Behavioural economist Dan Ariely says that Buffett's weight programme offers an example in self-control that's relevant to our economic times. Maybe Dan can help John. He joins us from Duke University. Where he
what are you saying?
Nothing. He is the James B. Duke Professor of Behavioural Economics. He's also the author of Predictably Irrational. So, Dan, if you're trying to lose weight, you're going to have some sort of self-control anyway. But what is particularly interesting to you about the way that Buffett has tried to lose weight?
So first of all, it's very interesting that Buffett is very good in self-control in general. His main idea that you buy when other people are panicking and means that he has a long-term view of investment. He doesn't have to worry about the short-term view of getting panicked. He thinks about the long-term view. But nevertheless, despite his ability in financial thinking, when it comes to his own weight, he fails in self-control. He doesn't succeed in doing it. So what he did was he created a contract that would force himself to have self-control. And basically, he tempted his kids to control him. He wrote the $10,000 checks to his kid and said, if you catch me eating fatty food, I'll sign this check toward you. And
So he didn't sign the checks?
He didn't sign the checks, but the checks were with his kids. And he said, the moment you catch me eating a donut or something, I will sign the check.
And they tried really hard to tempt him.
That's right. That's the problem with this particular contract, that if you sign checks to your kids to do this, they will start leaving pizzas and donuts and things everywhere around. But despite that, he was successful in achieving this contract. And that's actually a high level of sophistication. Of course, this is what we would expect from him. Everybody has self-control problems in different things. Most people don't understand their self-control problem. Some people understand their self-control problem and try to solve it. And what Buffett did was to create a mechanism that would get him to behave better even when he is tempted, because the fear or the unpleasantness of signing these checks for his kids was going to be too high to let him do that.
So, Dan, why are you teaching your students about self-control? Why is that so relevant?
So self-control is really kind of at the heart of many problems that we have in life. If you think about it, why don't we save for the long term? It's the now versus later. Why don't we exercise? Why don't we do medical checks? Like, imagine that we ask you whether you want to have a colonoscopy today, right? The chances are very low that you will feel like it's a good thing for today, but you would recognize that for the long term it's a good thing. And our continuous failure in many aspects of life, of sacrificing the long term for the short term, is the basic problem of self-control. And so now we have this problem, we understand it permeates many aspects of our life. The question is, how do we solve it? How do we get better? And the Buffett approach, which is the self-control mechanism approach, is one approach to try and find the solution, to basically create a contract against ourselves that would get us to behave better.
So basically we have to have something that we're really terrified of losing, i.e. Buffett and lots of money, to actually keep us in control.
It can either be bad or good. I can tell you my own personal attempts with this. So many years ago when I was in hospital, I got a liver disease from blood transfusion, hepatitis C. And as a consequence, many years later, they discovered a medication for this, which was interferon. It was a terrible medication. I had to take an injection 3 times a week. And after each injection, I felt sick for about 18 hours, fever, shivering, vomiting. And the difficulty was, how do I inject myself with this injection 3 times a week for a year and a half, when after each of those I'm going to be sick for such a long time? So I had the opposite, was what was going to be something terrible in the short term that I wanted for the long term. And the question is, what do I do? How can I fight it? And in my particular situation, I like movies. I actually like movies a lot. I would watch a lot if I had time. So I tried to connect a good thing with the bad thing. So every day I would go in the morning to school. I would rent a couple of movies. I would think about them. And then when I would come home, I would inject myself, and then I would position myself next to the television. I would put a bucket for vomiting. I will set myself up for the fever and the shivering.
It's nice breakfast time.
What's a great movie when you have a bucket next to you, Dan?
Oh, you know, I did it for a year and a half. I watched hundreds of movies. The good thing, I don't have that good memory anyway, so I could watch the same movies over and over. But the interesting thing was it worked. From the whole protocol of this experimental drug, the doctors told me I was the only patient who took the medications regularly.
Let's draw a parallel between the situation that we're in right now. Can we draw a parallel between self-control and the economic downturn or the recession, Dan?
So self-control, again, is the issue of doing something for the short term, not for the long term. So I think investors' behaviors, when you think that you watch your portfolio, you see the market not doing well, and on the moment, on the emotional effect of the moment, you decide to make some dramatic changes to your portfolio, is something that is lack of self-control. If you tell yourself, I'm going to put another step between me and my decision, I'm going to have an advisor, I'm going to ask permission from my spouse, that would create another level of self-control. You can also think about some of the aspects that got us here, which is spending a lot of money, not saving for a rainy day and so on, as a indication of a failure of self-control. For a long time with credit cards and so on, it was very hard to give up the short-term reward of buying whatever we wanted for the long-term effect of having more money sometime in the future.
But interesting enough, people are giving up more of their credit cards, doing a little less spending now, so maybe it needs a really big fearful impact for people to be able to do that. What about if people had incredible self-control? What effect would that have on the economy? Would we be in this mess right now?
So we need more than great self-control to avoid this mess. There was also this issue with prices of housing and so on. But I think if we had more self-control, the type of consumer society that we have would have been much less intense. The amount of impulse purchases would have been lower. Decision would have been aimed much more at the long term than the short term. It could have also been that bankers and companies would have had a longer term horizon rather than trying to just maximize profits for the particular quarter. At the same time, you know, it would have been nice to have more self-control, but some of the beauty of the things we do is what we feel like at the spur of the moment, and I don't want people to become Mr. Spoke-like and think about everything always to the extreme, but we do need more of it. It doesn't mean that we want to be completely self-controlled.
Dan, thank you very much. One more question for you from John.
Well, I guess never put off a colonoscopy for tomorrow that you can have today. Is that the lesson for
right.
today here? But we were listening to Alan Mulally a moment ago.
Getting the consumer involved in energy independence, energy security, sustainability is absolutely key no matter how we come out on our energy policy going forward.
Now there, the Ford CEO is sounding very much like a CEO, but he hasn't taken any federal TARP money, federal bailout money. Is that a rational strategy, Dan Ariely, or irrational?
Well, I think right now he has enough money, and also the problem is that when auto manufacturers are taking bailout money, they have a change to their image and also to the expectations of how long they'll survive. So I think from that perspective, it's probably a good strategy.
Good strategy.
If you think about
good review from Dan Ariely. Well, you know, we'll do that as a takeaway for Ford CEO Alan Mulally.
Very happy to know.
Yes, he will be very happy to know. Thanks, Dan, from Duke University. Dan Ariely, our buddy here at the Takeaway. Tell us your take at 877-8 My Take or My Take at thetakeaway.org. You can podcast the Alan Mulally interview with all kinds of questions from our listeners, and also on thetakeaway.org. We're doing a little experiment today. We want you to help us out. You need to do one simple thing. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us your name, where you are, and what you're doing. It's a way of exploring this community called The Takeaway, and we'll tell you more about why we're doing this, or go to our website to find out.
I'm Femi O'Kay.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is, what are you doing right now? The Takeaway.